Hare Krishna. The mind is a tormentor, not a mentor. The mind often pretends to be our mentor. A mentor is one who guides us, who coaches us, and who helps us to improve, who brings out the best within us. We may have spiritual mentors, some sports people may have them sports mentors, people may have managerial mentors. So we have different kinds of mentors. So often the mind acts as if it wants our good, and it gives us suggestions about what we should be doing. It gives comments about what is happening. And overall it promises us that if we just do its bidding, we will enjoy, we'll be happy. Actually, however, the mind, unlike mentors who bring out the best within us, the mind brings out the worst within us. The mind is filled with desires for petty pleasures, small things, watch this, read this, go on this, do this, do that. The mind keeps giving suggestions which are trivial and which often waste so much of our time. And it makes us underproductive. That's actually the best thing the mind can do quite often. Often the mind is also filled with despicable depravities. It has sometimes has such horrible ideas of enjoyment, of revenge fantasies, that normally we would shudder at these ideas. But the mind entertains this, and the mind keeps suggesting this to us. Now if we act on it, we can become our very worst. Sometimes the mind can make us a stranger to ourselves. Who was that? How could I have done such a thing? Was that really me? So this is how the mind brings out the worst within us. So the mind is actually not a mentor, but it is a tormentor. Why a tormentor? Because the mind, doesn't just give suggestions. It actually insists, it goads, do this, do this, do this, do this. Just like an elephant is goaded by a mahout, some sharp object which keeps piercing the elephant. So like that, the mind keeps prodding and piercing us. Do this, do this, do this. And actually, even if we give in to it, to its demands, what happens? The mind doesn't become satisfied. The mind is a taskmaster. It demands more. It demands more. Once we satisfy one fantasy of the mind and indulge in something, the mind wants it more. And it wants us to indulge in something which is even more undesirable, unwholesome, degrading. And if we refuse to do it, because we have fed the mind earlier by doing what it has told us to, it has become stronger and it tortures us all the more. So in this way, we get tormented by the mind. And often we end up doing things which we would normally shudder at doing. But we do them unconscionably without even thinking that they are wrong, because we just can't tolerate the torment of the mind. I just want to get rid of this. Let me just do it and get it over with. But unfortunately, we don't get it over with. The mind comes back, and after some time, for temporarily it may become peaceful, but after some time it will start tormenting us again. And in this way, we live in almost like a mental hell. Where we are constantly being tormented by the mind into doing terrible things. Of course, not constantly, but intermittently. Constantly in the sense that intermittent keeps happening again and again and again. So how can we protect ourselves from the mind's torment? There are two steps. First of all, we need to unmask the mind. Unmask means the mind puts on a mask, a facade, a pretense. That I am your well-wisher, I am your mentor, I am your guide. So we have to unmask that. Actually, the mind is not my mentor. The mind is a tormentor. So the Bhagavad Gita offers us rich insights about the nature and the demeanor of the mind. What the mind is and how it acts. In fact, the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is largely talking about the mind. And right in the beginning of the 6th chapter, in 6.6, Krishna tells us that the mind can act as our worst enemy. He says, Bandhuratma atmanastasya yenatmaivatmana jitaha अनात्मनस्तु शत्रुत्वे वर्ते तात्मैव शत्रुवत्। कृष्णा सेज बंधुर आत्मात्मनस्तस्य, बंधुर बंधुर मीन्स फ्रेंड, आत्मात्मनस्तस्य, हियर द वर्ड आत्मा इज यूज्ड फॉर सोल एंड इट इज यूज्ड इन द सेंस दैट वी आर द सोल, सो द mind can be the friend of the soul if the mind is controlled, and the mind can be the enemy of the soul. Anatmanas means if it's not under control. To shatrutve varte tatmaiva shatruvat, and varte tatmai, Krishna says normally it will behave, it will be positioned as our enemy. So the more we internalize this insight which Gita has given and assimilate the wisdom of the Gita about the mind, the more we will learn to view the mind skeptically. Whenever the mind comes up with suggestions, we will not immediately unthinkingly act on them, assuming that they are my ideas. Oh, is this really what I want to do? Is this in accordance with my values? Is this in accordance with my intelligence? If it is not, then I will not do it. Or at least I'll press a pause button and I'll stop and I'll think. So when we view the mind skeptically, then the mind cannot so easily or immediately goad us into wrong things. But still, there is a tough battle because the mind is there and the mind will keep goading us. That's why to protect ourselves from the mind, there is a second, more important step. That is to turn towards our true mentor. That is Krishna. Krishna always wants to and always gives us the counsel that will bring out the best within us. He gives his counsel through the scripture, he gives it through Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and he uses it as a super soul also. And we accept his counsel by practicing devotional service. When we chant Hare Krishna, when we do service to Krishna, when we cultivate remembrance of Krishna internally and get absorbed in the service externally, then we place ourselves in Krishna's protective and benedictive presence. So he protects us from the torment of the mind, and he benedicts us, blesses us with guidance about how to act. So that connection with Krishna gives us higher wisdom and higher happiness, and this enables us to resist the mind. And actually the magic of bhakti is even greater. Bhakti enables us, if we practice bhakti clearly, we can see the mind doing wrong. Oh, the mind is tricking me now. If we chant Hare Krishna attentively, we learn to become more internally observant, because chanting Hare Krishna, it is transcendental. But even if we don't become entirely transcendental, the more we chant Hare Krishna attentively, it become more and more towards goodness. And goodness, we become internally illuminated, so we can observe properly. So, sarvadvareshu dehi prakasham upajayate, Krishna says in 15.11, that prakasham upajayate, we become internally illumined, so we can catch the mind when it is trying to trick and fool us. So devotional service enables us to actually view the mind skeptically and catch it before its antics make us do antics ourselves. But beyond that, bhakti does something more. So actually, firstly, by bhakti, we become more alert to catch the mind doing wrong. But more than that, bhakti also converts the mind, because contact with Krishna, who is all pure, purifies the mind. And gradually the mind also starts seeing, I'm thinking that this will make me happy, I have this idea of this fantasy of doing this bhakti, I'll become happy, but actually it doesn't make me happy. And instead, if I serve Krishna, if I practice bhakti, that actually makes me happy. And when the mind starts seeing that, then the mind slowly becomes converted. Its base tendencies get decreased and eliminated, and then the mind becomes our friend. And then the mind also prompts us to serve Krishna more and more. And then when the mind becomes thus converted, then bhakti becomes sukham. It's constantly joyful. Till then there is an internal battle. There is sukha even now also, but there is a battle. But once the mind gets converted, then it becomes constantly, unceasingly joyful, because there's nothing to distract us from the sweetness of bhakti. And this is how, actually, the guidance of the Supreme Mentor Krishna frees us from the evil effects of the tormentor, the mind. Thank you. Hare Krishna.